For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
It's the Box Score Breakdown. Today, Sunday, the 27th of December, 2020. Hey, I'm your host, Scotty. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. Mr. J, he's not here today, but you can normally find him on Twitter. And Mr. Jolly of Sydney, a ton of injuries starting to creep in. Cat looks like he's gone for the best part of a month. Kevin Love's re-injured his calf, so who knows what's going to happen there. Spencer Dinwiddie disappeared today with a knee injury. PJ Washington with an ankle injury today. And that is already adding to Clay being out for the entire year, Derek White being out for probably at least a couple more weeks, and Cody Zeller, of course, broke his hand in the first one. And another one who I'm going to mention, but it's probably very good that we've got him here to talk about it. He is the host of the Clippers podcast on the Hoopball Network, and we are, of course, presented by Hoopball, and we'll talk about them in just a minute. You can find my guest today on Twitter at BD Marcus, Brandon. G'day, mate.
Good day. And I have a question for you, Scotty. How hard is it to remember the day? Because you are in Monday and you're talking about Sunday.
It's very hard. I've got to be absolutely focused and switched on to remember it.
It's impressive.
I think there's a couple of times I've stuffed up, and I know when I upload the show, I've got to try and remember and put in Sunday's date and all that sort of stuff. So it's absolutely crazy. But hey, look, how you been? How was your Christmas?
Christmas was good. It's always a time around here where I just keep working and get that time and a half. So that's always nice. Things go as normal. Lots of basketball is back, which is always nice to be able to watch. And, you know, I can't complain except for the fact that my team decided not to show up. They had a little bit too much eggnog.
We'll get to those guys in just a second. But since you are the host of the Clippers podcast on the Hoopball Network, let's have a quick chat with injuries and Kawhi. He copped an elbow to the jaw from Serge Ibaka yesterday, went down 8 stitches, I believe. What's the latest? What have you heard?
I think it's a day-to-day situation. I think the positive is that he was questionable up until about a couple hours before game time. So that's definitely a positive that he wasn't ruled out right away. So that means that you can probably rule out a concussion and anything serious, because it really did look bad when it happened. You thought maybe, I mean, the way he went down with his leg just kind of giving out, it looked really awkward. And knowing Kawhi and the injuries he's had, the last thing you want to do is have him go down the way he did. But I think it is a day-to-day situation. I think the Clippers were playing it safe with him. We'll see if he plays next game. But long-term, I don't think it's anything to worry about.
And that's a great move to segue into the first game. Since we have you on, let's talk about the Clippers and the Mavs. And the Mavs destroying the Clippers 124-73. It was 77-27 at halftime. And ESPN Stats and Info tweeted out that that is the biggest deficit since in the shot clock era, which is since 54-55. Wow, that's absolutely crazy. For the Mavs, Luka the star, almost 26 minutes, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, flirted with that triple-double, had 1 steal as well, shot 8 from 18 from the floor, missed all 5 shots from deep, and 8 from 9 from the foul line, which seems to be he's improved that part of his game. Only two turnovers as well, so it's not terrible if you have him in nine cat. We'll look at Josh Richardson as well, who in 26 minutes got 21 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 8 from 13 from the floor, and well, that's 61% field goal percentage. He got 4 from 8 from deep as well. Josh Richardson, Luka Doncic, what did you make of those guys in particular for the Mavs this morning?
Listen, with Luka, the free throw shooting is something that has been an issue for him, and he's going to get high volume because just of his ability to get to the rack. And if he's able to increase his free throw percentage to something that's reasonable, considering that he is already someone that was taken in the first round, he immediately vaults into the top three, top four conversation if you have him hitting his free throws. And I don't expect him to be hitting threes with a high percentage. He's never been a good three-point shooter. I mean, that was really the rap on him. I don't remember the exact percentage last year, but I want to say he was around 30% from deep. So he's not a great three-point shooter. Bummer, obviously, if you have him, then he was 0 for 5. But that being said, you take away those five threes, and he's 8 for 13 from two. I mean, it just shows you his ability to get to the rack at will, got to the free throw line, converted there, and he damn near had a triple-double in just 26 minutes. So he's a beast.
And Tim Hardaway Jr. had some value in this game. 23 minutes, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 7 from 14 from the floor, 4 from 8 from deep as well for him. So keep an eye out for him if he's hanging around your waiver wire. Let's move over to the Clippers, though. And they, well, look, somewhat disappointing, but let's start with probably their best player today, in my opinion, in Serge Ibaka. The reason they probably did so pathetic today was because of Serge and his stray elbow to Kawhi's face. And if Kawhi was there, this could be a different game. But Serge, 19 minutes, 13 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist. He also got 1 block. He got 6 from 11 from the floor. He got 0 from 4 from deep, which is unlike Serge. And then, of course, Paul George, their superstar, 24 minutes, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 4 from 13 from the floor and missed all 3 of his shots from deep. Unlike Paul George, how do you feel about those two guys and how they performed today in particular?
Paul George has been great. I mean, all season long. I mean, and by all season long, I mean the first two games. He has been really good coming into today. And a weird quote after the game where he basically said that this loss is on him and that he had too much fun on Christmas with whoever he celebrated with and he wasn't ready to play. And that's not really what you want to hear from a guy like Paul George. That's a max player when he needs to be relied upon with Kawhi out. But I think just chalk this one up to a bad game. You mentioned Ibaka, and there was a conversation before the season, Ibaka versus Zoo, who would be the starter, who's the guy that's going to end up having value. And Zoo was playing a lot of minutes off the bench, and it really does seem like no matter what, Ibaka's going to hover around that 20-minute mark, which is going to be tough because he's going to have some stinkers, but he could still put up the numbers that he did today, 13-9 in 20 minutes, a good percentage. And like you said, I mean, the 3-point 0 for 4 is not something you're going to be used to. He hit 2 against Denver and hit 2 against Dallas. So someone that's going to be valuable, definitely a nice guy to have at the end of your bench. Very surprising to see Zubats perform as poorly as he did. He's a guy that usually has a pretty good plus minus, but he was a minus 33 in just 16 minutes, which is pathetic. 10 points, 2 rebounds. Chalk that one up to a bad game as well, but Zoo is still a guy I would keep my eye on. The one thing that I want to take from this game, because there's been a lot of talk about Nick Batum and how he had a really good opening to the season, you got to realize that this guy is not the same guy that we saw several years ago. He's going to put up good numbers at times, but Marcus Morris will be back at some point. Morris will eat into all of Batum's usage. So Batum is a guy that I'm not racing out to grab on the wire.
And speaking of Batum, he is one of the most added players on waiver wires, especially once Kawhi Leonard went down. His numbers today, 21 minutes, 4.6 rebounds, 1 assist. He shot 2 from 4 from the floor and only shot 1 from deep. So, you know, 21 and a half minutes, only getting away 4 shots, including one of those from deep. Yeah, that is very much a step back to how he has performed so far in the first couple of games. And Zubac, We love that guy, but 16 minutes, 10 points, only 2 rebounds, and being 10 foot bloody tall, it's surprising that that's all he got, and no blocks as well. He shot 3 from 4 from the field. He also got 4 from 4 from the foul line. Look, before we get on to the next game, I just need to pause the show for an announcement, and it's a fun one. It's free stuff, and everybody loves free stuff. What is it? The Bruise Letter. Oh, yes, it's back, baby. It's back and fresh for the 2021 NBA season. Our founder, Aaron Brewski, is writing an email newsletter filled with his most intimate fantasy nuggets. It's exclusive content you cannot find anywhere else too. It's not on the website. It's not on a podcast. It's not on social media. It's only in the email newsletter. And you can sign up and get it for free. Just go to bit.ly/brewsletter, brew like the beer or the coffee, B-R-E-W-S, then the word letter, 2021, and sign up in 10 seconds. Again, the site is bit.ly/brewsletter. 2021, Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox. Our second game, very interesting. The Nets finally got toppled for the first time. A big third quarter from Charlotte held off a late storming Nets. 106 to Charlotte to the Nets 104. And let's start with the winning side and Charlotte. Gordon Hayward, 35 minutes, 28.6 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, shot 12 from 20 from the floor, 2 from 3 from deep as well. And also PJ Washington. Now, PJ has hurt his ankle, so it's a keep your eye out. He definitely should not be in any waiver wire. He should be owned, 100% owned everywhere. And he proved that today. 34 minutes, 14 points, 12 rebounds in a double-double, 5 assists, 2 steals. He shot 6 from 16 from the floor, which is disappointing, but I don't think he's necessarily there for his field goal percentage. He missed 2 from the charity stripe missed 2 from deep and got 2 from 6 from the charity stripe. Definitely a points league favorite for today in his performance. Any of those two pique your interest, Brandon?
PJ Washington. I mean, luckily it seems to be a minor ankle sprain, and he's a guy that's having to play some center with Zeller out. And he was good last year. He was hovering around that 100 level. You're wondering, should you add him? Should you drop him? And he was good for a stretch. 14 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. I mean, that's going to fill up a box score. You mentioned the free throws, though. 2 for 6 is not what you want to see from a guy in PJ Washington that could end up playing some center minutes, which means he's close to the basket, likely to possibly get fouled. He is not a great free throw shooter, but nonetheless, someone that is going to help you in other categories because he can shoot the 3-ball. Like you said, he was 0 for 2 there. And it's interesting to me with this team, because they're not deep, Scotty. I mean, that's one thing that is really interesting. It means when you don't have a deep team, you know what you're going to get fantasy-wise, which is really good to see. I mean, Scary Terry, a guy that everybody's saying, well, it doesn't matter, he's going to end up being replaced by Ball. Not so fast. Not so fast, especially if Charlotte's winning games like this against a Brooklyn team that was 2-0 and Charlotte was 0-2. And Terry's putting up some good numbers, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 of 14 from the field. That's now 2 games where he shot over 50%. Of course, he had that game where he put up 42 points, and he was great in that one. But I think the surprise for me so far is that Gordon Hayward has been as good as he has. I mean, we knew that he was going to get the usage. We knew he was great in Utah when he got the usage. He was not good in Boston. But my biggest worry was his health. And so far, I mean, you play 36 minutes, and you put up the numbers that he did. He's a guy that has a chance to end up top 30 if he stays healthy.
And that's massive value. And another guy that has played fairly well up and down when it comes to Charlotte was probably their star from last year. Devontae Graham in 35 minutes. He got 13 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and shot 3 from 9 from deep. Anyone who makes 9 attempts from deep, hopefully with that volume, is going to at least convert a little bit more than 3, but he's at least moving forward. Let's go to the Brooklyn side of things, and let's start with KD and Kyrie. They had an interesting day today. KD, 36 minutes, 29 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block. 9 from 15 from the floor and 5 from 7 from deep. That's sort of what we like to see. But got 6 from 9 from the charity stripe. So missed 3 there, which is unlike KD. Kyrie got 36 minutes as well. 25 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. 10 from 17 from the floor, 3 from 8 from deep, got his only 2 from the charity stripe. Those two just continue to keep getting better and better.
Yeah, they're good, man. And I want to ask you a question. I'm curious to get your take because I'm someone that drafted Kyrie Irving. And obviously, I love what I'm seeing so far. I mean, the guy is shooting 50% plus every single game. He's looked unbelievable. Would you ride him out and just hope that he stays healthy? Or would you try and trade him? Because I think it's tough for people that own him. Because if you trade him and he stays healthy, I mean, that's a total punch to the gut. But he's had these injury issues. What are your thoughts on Kyrie?
So everyone is saying sell high, get as much value as you can because the injury is coming. I don't know. I think if Kyrie's unhappy, you know, he spent certain points of time in Cleveland with LeBron where he wasn't happy because he thought he would get more of a role than what he did, even though he was, you know, really the clear number two, even with Kevin Love there. And I think the minute you get a niggling injury at that point, you want to go, bugger, I'm going to sit, I'm going to relax, it's not worth me, you know, hurting my stuff. Where I think it is clearly a 1A, 1B with KD and Kyrie. I don't think it's anyone's team in particular, and I think he loves it. I think he loves what they're doing. I think Steve Nash is great for Kyrie. It's hard. I'm on the fence, but I'm leaning towards the keeping Kyrie because I think he can keep this up.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I think it would hurt more to get rid of him and see him continue to put up these top 5, top 10 numbers. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. It's hard. You can't just predict injuries. I mean, some players you can, but if he's going to play the way he's going to play, he's a guy that I want to keep. I mean, it really does seem like this is a team that obviously is top heavy with Durant and Kyrie, but you have other guys. I mean, Dinwiddie is hurt. So the question is who replaces him? And I don't really think there is somebody fantasy wise you can go out and grab. I mean, Caris LeVert is already owned by a bunch of teams. He didn't shoot very well today, 4 of 12. 2 of 7 from deep, but he's a guy that is going to put up numbers. His percentages have always been a problem, and he does turn over the basketball. Didn't have any today, but he's a guy that's going to put up numbers. And of course, Jared Allen is a guy that is just going to continue to put up rebounds and get you blocks with good percentages. So I like Allen. DeAndre Jordan doesn't do it as much for me. At some point, they're going to put Allen, you would think, in the starting lineup. But still, I mean, Allen played more minutes than DJ today, so it really doesn't matter that he's not starting.
Yeah, he did. And he played 25 minutes, got 8 points, 14 rebounds, 8 points, 14 rebounds, 1 assist. He got a block as well, got 1 from 2 from the floor, didn't try any from deep. But that just shows you that a bit of faith now is starting to come into Jared Allen playing. Caris LeVert, absolutely. If he's sitting on your bench, I'd start, if Dinwiddie's out for any period of time, start whacking him in your lineup. 25 minutes, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block as well. And Spencer Dinwiddie only got 15 minutes because of this knee injury in that 15 minutes. 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Maybe someone you could go and buy low on as a bit of insurance, especially if you are a Kyrie owner. Let's have a look at our third game for the day. The Magic get the double in back-to-back days over Washington, 120 to 113, and a massive fourth quarter from the Magic got it done. And we'll start with those guys. And a guy who I think is really looking to be a top 30 lock here, the way he's playing, you know, at worst, maybe top 50, Markel Fultz. 29 minutes, 26 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 11 from 21 from the floor, 2 from 3 from deep. Just a mammoth effort from him and a big game from a guy who I said the other day you should keep an eye on as a possible streamer, Terrence Ross. 30 minutes, 26 points, 1 rebound, 1 steal. He got 7 from 15 from the floor, but 4 from 7 from deep. Markel Fultz, do you think he's going to continue this form, Brandon?
He's been good, and he was the number one pick for a reason. He's a really good player. But something that's interesting about him, his numbers obviously looked good today. 26 points, 11 of 21 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. So the shot is there. But he didn't do a whole lot else. He had one steal, a couple of turnovers. If I were to ask you where you thought he was in a per-game basis, you would probably say top 50, right? He's actually at 81 right now. So he's a guy that may be worth trading if you have him because of this hot start. He's a good player. There's no doubt about it. But that being said, a guy that's going to turn over the basketball and is not going to give you a ton from three, doesn't rebound a whole lot, he's a guy that I'm okay trading away. But that being said, there definitely is talent there.
And Nikola Vucevic in 28 minutes for the Vooch, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, shone 5 from 11 from the floor, and 1 from 4 from deep. If he continues to add the threes, that's certainly going to boost up his numbers. Only if, though, he doesn't start shooting them a high volume and starts to miss them. Let's have a look at the Washington side and Bradley Beal. Westbrook sat today. So that sort of made it Bradley Beal's team and all by himself. He got 39 minutes, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists and a block, shot 10 from 29 from the floor, missed all 7 shots from deep for Bradley Beal. And another interesting guy, Raul Neto, who came in for the point guard since Westbrook sat in 32 minutes, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, shot 10 from 17 from the floor, 2 from 8 from deep. So high amount of volume from 3 from those two. I wouldn't expect you to think Neto is much value moving forward, but that's the first sign we've seen Bradley Beal this year without Russell Westbrook. Westbrook not injured, just sitting a back-to-back. How do you think he will continue to go with and without Westbrook?
It's interesting because Beal actually shot way better with Westbrook. And I think that makes a lot of sense because instead of Beal having to do it all, Westbrook is getting him good looks. He's attracting attention on the offensive end. Beal shot over 50% in the first two games without Westbrook. Then he goes 10 for 29 today without a three. Nonetheless, Beal's the guy that's going to fill up the book. I mean, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists today with a block. Didn't have a steal after getting 6 in the first two games. Love what I'm seeing from Bradley Beal so far. And the guy that I want to discuss is Thomas Bryant. He's a guy that I've been high on for a couple of years. He was great in the bubble. So to see him put up the numbers that he did, as long as he stays healthy, which is the big if, he's going to be a really good fantasy asset. He shoots the ball well. He was 0 for 2 from deep today, but he is a guy that can shoot the three ball. And a guy that can get you 5 assists at the center position is incredibly valuable.
He also got 16 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, and a block to go with that. Game number 4. The big one kind of one of the big ones for the day. The San Antonio Spurs, 95, got beaten by the New Orleans Pelicans, 98. The Pelicans held off a late run from the Spurs. And we'll start on San Antonio's side of things. And Keldon Johnson, a hot name to pick up from game one when they saw Pop going to start him. And he got 30 minutes, a double-double, 14 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks. Shot 50% from the floor, 2 from 5 from deep as well. An interesting name. If you haven't got him, go and get him. And another one who, you know, wound back the clock a little bit today, Rudy Gay. In 28 minutes, got 22 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. You love it when they fill up the stat box like that. Shot 9 from 20 from the floor, 2 from 8 from deep as well. I dare say Rudy Gay is probably not on your radar, but Keldon Johnson, an interesting name.
Yeah, Rudy Gay is someone that floats on and off the waiver wire. He has for a couple of years, and it's because of the numbers that he put up today with his ability to get 2 steals and 2 blocks. Those are always sexy when you have that. 22 points, 9 of 20 from the field. He's good. One thing to watch is if Pop continues to play small and how many minutes Rudy Gay gets. Because if he continues to get the minutes that he got tonight, he's absolutely valuable. But like you said, I mean, Keldon Johnson, he's a guy that was a surprise starter in game number one, and he has really run with that job. And to get a double-double, get 2 blocks, to shoot the ball the way he does, couple of threes, shot the free throws well, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. I mean, he's been really good so far, and you can't ask for much else. He's not going to be a huge scorer, but to average 14 points in your first three ball games and get 7 rebounds and a couple of threes here and there, he's a really good asset. And the one thing to watch for sure is when Derek White returns, what happens to guys like Keldon Johnson? Because Derek White, let's not forget, he's someone that had a lot of hype coming into this season. And there's a lot of mouths to feed with Murray and DeRozan and Johnson and White, Rudy Gay, LaMarcus Aldridge, who has really been a pain in my backside so far to start this season. The 20 minutes is not good. It's not good to see. And it's really rare when you have a guy like Aldridge that you give him a very short leash. I'm giving this guy 2 to 3 weeks to figure it out. And if not, it's very possible he ends up on the wire. But he's a very elite shot blocker. And so just that in itself is a reason to keep him on your roster. But it's something to watch because he's getting older. He's shooting more threes, which may not be good for him.
Maybe if you're looking at a trade, have him as a second player in a trade just to try and, upgrade in that part. DeJounte Murray, did okay. 31 minutes, 13.7 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 steals. Shot 6 from 9 from the floor, 1 from 3 from deep. He's been playing really good, but that, as we said yesterday, how will he continue to go when Derek White comes back? It's very much a watch this space. And a guy who I'm about to talk to for the first time, a trendy name in the offseason, early on in drafts, Jakob Poeltl. 23 minutes, 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks. 4 from 6 from the field. Didn't shoot any from deep. And let's have a look at the New Orleans Pelicans side. And Brandon Ingram was the man who shined today. 35
he's
minutes.
A beast.
He's not quite Zion Beasley, but he was today. 35 minutes, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and a block. 9 from 23 from the floor. You'd like to see a better percentage with that volume as high as what it was. And 2 from 5 from deep, certainly the star for the Pelicans. And then, of course, the man we call the beast normally, Zion, in 38 minutes, 18 points, 11 rebounds, 5 steals, extremely tasty, and a block as well. 7 from 22 from the floor. We don't like to see that. He also shot 4 from 7 from the charity stripe. Back to the good old Zion with his free throws. Those two guys look pretty good. Zion ended up on his backside, though, from DeMar DeRozan blocking him out, which was rather interesting. But Brandon Ingram, you called him a beast. How do you feel about his value?
He's an easy top 20, top 30 guy this season if he continues to play at this level. I mean, the field goal percentage obviously has not been great the last couple of games, but he is such a high usage guy. And you talk about short benches. And the Pelicans have a very short bench. They're only playing 3 guys off that bench. They're keeping it really tight with Stan Van Gundy. Ingram's going to get the ball whenever he's on the floor. Love what he's putting up numbers-wise. Zion may be a guy that is more name than actual production when it comes to Roto. But in category leagues, he'll hurt you a little bit at the free throw line. But a guy that can get you 5 steals in a game, get you a double-double, and get you a block or two. Zion's a really good ball player to have. And I think the guy that stands out for me, because obviously Ingram and Zion are good, and there's a reason why they were drafted as high as they were. Lonzo Ball, I mean, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, 7 of 14 from the field, which is really important for a guy that frankly cannot shoot, 1 of 5 from 3. But Ball is a guy that we were waiting to have that really breakout game. And he had it tonight.
And talking about that short bench, they had a 7-man rotation the other day. They've gone to an 8-man rotation today. And Josh Hart, off the bench, played 33 minutes with a double-double, 12 points and 10 rebounds. That's it. That's all he got. He got 1 from deep as well. Shot 3 from 6 from the floor, 1 from 2 from deep. Josh Hart's another interesting name if he's floating out there. I'd very much, especially with this short rotation, be rushing to pick him up. If he is even out there, he probably shouldn't be if that is the case. Let's look at game 5 and look at the very hot, now 3-0 Cleveland Cavs giving it to the 76ers. 76ers 94, the Cavs 118, and the Cavs were just dominant from the outset. We'll have a look at Philly, and Tobias Harris has been slowly getting used to his role in Philadelphia. He got 16 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
3 steals, shot 5 from 10 from the floor, got 4 from 6 from deep in 28 minutes. There was no Embiid, and Ben Simmons did okay too. 28 minutes, 15.6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 5 from 8 from the floor, didn't try one from deep, 5 from 7 from the charity stripe. Let's talk Philly. Old man squad Tobias Harris starting to feel a little at home.
Yeah, we were waiting for this line. I mean, if you were able to buy low early on, good on you. Tobias is a guy that usually ends up in that top 40, top 50 range easily, and he did really well under Doc Rivers. He's going to get high usage in the games that Embiid is not there. He's put up 16 points today. What he does and what you have him for is his ability to contribute all over the place. He's a really good three-point shooter, shoots the free throws really well, gets you rebounds, gets you assists, gets you steals, a block here and there at times.
And on the Cavs side, Andre Drummond, massive value today, 25 points, especially if you had him in DFS, 25 points, 24 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks in 25 minutes, 11 from 18 from the floor, only 2 from 4 from the charity stripe, but that was interesting. And Colin Sexton continues to feel very much at home in that backcourt for the Cavs. 29 minutes, 22 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal to go with it. 8 from 15 from the floor, 1 from 2 from deep, 5 from 6 from the charity stripe. Mate, Drummond looked red hot today, especially with Kevin Love being gone early on with his calf injury.
Yeah, I think a lot of this had to do with Embiid being out for Philadelphia, so a game that Drummond should take advantage of. And he put up these numbers last year. I mean, he really was this good with Detroit last year. And his ability to rack up steals and blocks from the center position, along with those obviously tasty point rebound totals. He's not a guy that's going to shoot free throws well, but normally his field goal percentage is decent. And a great game from him, no doubt about that. I mean, this is why you got him. And the guards have been great so far. I mean, especially Darius Garland. But all those guys being said, I want to talk about Larry Nance, because if Kevin Love is indeed out for any period of time, Larry Nance immediately becomes a top 75 guy, and his ability to fill up the stat sheet, steals, blocks, points, rebounds, assists, great percentages. He shoots the three ball well. So I like Nance a lot. If he's available on your wire, I'd go grab him.
And we saw that in the first game, no Kevin Love. Larry Nance was the shining light, that beacon for the Cavs. And then nada, nothing when Kevin Love come back in. Yeah. So now that Kevin Love could be out, very much an opportunity for Larry Nance. 35 minutes, he got 13 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists and 2 steals. He got 3 from deep as well. Fills up that stat box fairly nicely. Support for the box score breakdown is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. And big news, the Manscaped have just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times. Who knew smelling good could feel this good too, with the same signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas. This cologne is a perfect complement to the collection. Light, approachable, gentlemanly in all the right ways. Think of it as your wingman for the night to keep you fresh and ready for anything. It is a 50 ml spray cologne that is hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. And a beautifully designed glass bottle makes a statement. And the manly scent is attractive to set the mood. Also, be sure to check out the Perfect Package 3.0 with all the essentials for your below-the-waist grooming, including the Lawnmower 3.0. And you can use the new Manscaped Refined Cologne to complete your set and smell great anywhere, anytime. Get 20% off with free shipping at with the code HOOPBALL20. At manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code HOOPBALL20. Look good, smell good, and feel good with Manscaped. Your balls and your body will thank you. Let's have a look at game number 6, the Buccaneers and the Knicks. And the Knicks, 130 over the Bucks, 110, a massive second quarter to hold the lead. But we'll start with the Bucks side. And I think people are a little bit surprised that the Bucks were done over here, but we'll check them out to start with. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, 32 minutes, 27 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. Shot 9 from 15 from the floor, 1 from 5 from deep. So at least he's whacked a 3 in there. And Cash Money Middleton, or Sox, as Mr. J likes to call him, 32 minutes, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. He got 8 from 18 from the floor, 1 from 6 from deep as well. And if I can circle back to Giannis, he's shots from the charity stripe, 8 from 13, which is a little disappointing for those two in the Bobby Portis revenge game.
He's been really bad from the free throw line, Giannis. I mean, right now, in a per game basis, he's at 155. Now, if you get rid of free throw percentage, it's a whole different story. So if you're playing 9-cat and you have Giannis, you're tanking free throw percentage. I mean, it's as simple as that. He is really bad from the free throw line. There was hope that he was going to be able to get back to the 70% plus mark this season after shooting 63% last year. So far, that does not seem to be the case. But if you are playing 8-cat, fine. If you're tanking turnovers, fine. If you have Giannis and you're not taking turnovers, turn your team into taking turnovers taking free throw percentage, because he's just been that bad.
And on the New York Knicks side of things, Julius Randle continues to be a solid, solid fantasy option, especially being the number one player on the Knicks in a Tibbs lineup. In fact, 37 minutes, 29 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, and a block. Shot 8 from 17 from the floor, 3 from 5 from deep, 10 from 11 from the foul line, Julius Randle. And Elfrid Payton decided to show out a bit today. 29 minutes, 27 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal. Shot 12 from 16 from the floor, 3 from 3 from deep as well. Any of those guys interest you?
Randle. I mean, that's someone that when he was with the Lakers and he had those big games, you knew he was capable of it. And now that he's getting the rock, I mean, he was great with the Pelicans at times. And he's going to be the focus of this offense. I mean, this team is not good. He's going to be the focus of this offense. You worry if he's going to have a lot of shots, if maybe that'll impact his field goal percentage.
And RJ Barrett was somewhat useful today. Started off, blazing hot in that first game, and then very disappointing yesterday. He 38 minutes today, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. Missed all 4 shots from deep, though, and only 7 from 17 from the floor. Game number 7, the Celtics and the Indiana Pacers. The Celtics 107, the Pacers 108. Sabonis with the layup with 8 seconds to go for the win. Boston had a chance in an attempt with, you know, a couple of seconds to go from three. That missed. We'll start on the Boston side right now. And Jason Tatum with a double-double, 35 minutes, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block to go with 9 from 21 from the floor, 3 from 9 from deep, and shot all 4 of his shots from the charity stripe, made them. And Marcus Smart finally starting to warm up a little bit, 31 minutes, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 4 from 8 from the floor, 2 from 4 from deep, and only got one of his 2 shots from the foul line. Any of the, well, obviously so Tatum, massive, games, especially people today, getting him late points. In the first, early in the second. But Marcus Smart, slow start, starting to warm up a little.
Stat sheet.
Yeah, I have Tatum and I have Smart on my team. And Smart's a guy that I have.
And on the Pacers side, it was our man Sabonis, the boner again.
Like to get him a block or two at some point.
40 minutes, but if he's going to put the percentages, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block for Domantas Sabonis.
Mate,
8 from 18 from the floor, 2 from 4 from deep, 1 from 3 from the charity stripe. And Malcolm Brogdon, with no Victor Oladipo today, showed up a little, which I guess we'd expect. 36 minutes, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals to go with 2 from 7 from deep. He also shot 11 from 20 from the floor. How do you feel about the Pacers and how things have started with those guys?
I mean, Sabonis has been great when you look at every category except for turnovers and free throw percentage. I mean, he's a guy that's probably winning you several categories on his own. I mean, to have one triple-double and to have two double-doubles, just the numbers he's put up have been unbelievable. But the free throws
have
been bad.
Can I just jump in there? So you're saying that if you took Christian Wood and LaMarcus Aldridge in a draft and passed over Sabonis, Mr. Jolly is a stupid, stupid man?
Yeah, yeah, pretty stupid. I would say especially stupid for LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge looks like he's going on 90 years old here. I mean, it's to only play 20 minutes when you have Sabonis who played 41. And frankly, why would you draft a guy in Aldridge when you can have someone that you can name your team something to do with boner? I mean, come on.
And we look at TJ Warren, who's done pretty good. 37 minutes, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal. Also missed his only shot from deep with Victor out. And Miles Turner, 29 minutes, 10.7 rebounds, 2 steals, and 5 very, very, as to use Brandon's word, sexy blocks. That is very nice. That'll win you a day or two. That is 3 from 10 from the floor as well, and missed all 4 shots from deep for Miles Turner, though. Very interesting stat line for those two. If you like a bit of a flutter, a bet, jump onto mybookie.ag. Those guys are absolutely awesome at this point of at this time of year. It's the right time to get some skin in the game. They've got odds boosts, lining deals, and free bets, and they await all season long. And with the NFL playoffs right around the corner, we know who's going to be in those playoffs. We know what they're capable of. It's not difficult to find some value in the lines that they set. Whether you're a first-time customer or been playing MyBookie for years, there is no shortage of value to be found in the thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, contests that they offer every single week. Sign up or get reloaded today. Find an edge, make your bet, and get paid with cash. They also boast a fully fledged casino platform, giving you access to all the classic table, slot, and card games you'd expect to find at your local spot. The best part is their doors never close. Make the right play and sign up today at MyBookie. And when you do, use the promo code HoopBall to get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. Put in $200, they'll match you with another 100 smackaroos in your account. So if you're already planning to bet this season, it's free betting money. It's winning season at MyBookie. So come in, join on the fun and win some cash while you're at it. And please gamble responsibly. We have 3 more games to try and pump through. Whew. All right. Chicago and Golden State. Golden State got a three-pointer from Lee with 2 seconds to go to clinch it, 129 to 128. And don't get excited, Bulls fans, because the Golden State Warriors aren't a great side. But we'll start with those guys. And it seemed to be a little bit of a return for Steph Curry. 36 minutes, 36 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 11 from 25 from the floor for 44%. Still a little bit lower than what we expect, but it's somewhat better than what it has been. And 5 from 15 from deep for Steph Curry. And Kelly Oubre seemed to have made a little bit of a comeback. 30 minutes, 8 points, 11 rebounds. 30 minutes, 8 points, 11 rebounds. That's right. 4 steals. 3 from 16 from the floor for a paltry 18%, which I think that's becoming who he is, and 0 from 6 from deep as well for Kelly Oubre. But I guess Curry and a bit of a resurgence is, you know, what's on everyone's mind with this game.
Yeah, yeah, they're waiting for it. I mean, everyone was worried, okay, he's not the same Curry, but he had a Curry-like game today. If you drafted him with a top 5 pick, numbers like tonight's, where he gets 5 threes, 9 of 9 from the free throw line, a couple of steals, a couple of blocks, 6 assists, 36 points. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see. The one thing that really has been disappointing and is Kelly Oubre and how bad he has been to start the season. I mean, 3 of 16, Oubre just cannot buy a bucket. I mean, you look at his 3 games so far, Scotty, and 3 of 14, 1 of 10, 3 of 16. I mean, I don't know if you could do math that quickly, but 7 of 40 from the field, that is trash.
That is
he
bad.
Is a buy low candidate. He's going to get the opportunity. They need him to put up shots. No Klay Thompson. Someone needs to. He had 4 steals in today's game, so it shows you the ability that he has to put a really good line together if he does make shots. You look at what he can do from 3, add in the points, rebounds, steals, a block shot or two. He's a guy that I want to buy low right now.
And Chris out for the year with a broken fibula, I think it was. So that will open the door for Paschal and those big guys to, you know, take some more minutes. James Wiseman, 7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 steal and a block. Andrew Wiggins did okay today, though. 36 minutes, 19 points, 9 rebounds, flirted with that double-double with 4 assists and a block to go with 2 from 3 from deep, 6 from 15 from the line. We look at Chicago, and someone finally told Wendell Carter Jr. the season has started. 31 minutes, 22 points, 13 rebounds. There's the Wendell we hoped for as Bulls fans. He also got 4 assists, 1 from 2 from deep as well, 8 from 9 from the floor, 5 from 8, though, from the charity stripe. And then Zach LaVine took control of the Chicago team anyway, as he should. 35 minutes, 33 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. That'll win you some leagues today. 11 from 23 from the floor, 4 from 12 from deep, 7 from 9 from the foul line. How do you like it that Wendell's finally woken up?
Well, I mean, all the hype guys for the Bulls finally came through today, and you mentioned Wendell Carter, and today's line is what you are expecting from him and hoping from him. I think it's more reasonable to have something in between the couple of games he had in the last two. I mean, back-to-back nights, he goes 9-6 and then 22-13. I think it's more likely to maybe have a 15-9 game. And if he can get you a couple of blocks with that, very reasonable. He has not shot the ball well before tonight. 2 for 10 last night, 2 for 5 the night a couple of days before that. So good to see tonight. He goes 8 of 9 from the field. And he's a guy that if you drafted, you're glad that he finally came through. But I'll admit I'm not a guy that's in on Wendell Carter Jr. I don't really like what Chicago's doing. I love Zach LaVine. Apart from LaVine, there's no one that really tickles my fancy on that team.
Although Laurie Marketing continues his solid start to the season, 29 minutes, 23 yeah. points, 7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block, 7 from 13 from the floor, 4 from 7 from deep, has some value, so maybe hold tight with him. And, of course, Kobe White, 35 minutes, 20.7 rebounds, 5 assists, had a slow start to the game, but picked it up and got 8 from 19 from the floor, 4 from 9 from deep, although I am very much aware Billy Donovan not too impressed with how White has started the game. Our second last game, though, the Phoenix Suns, 116, got revenge on yesterday's game for the Sacramento Kings, 100. And we'll start with the Kings. And Tyrese Halliburton showed up a little bit today in 26 minutes, got 15 points, got a rebound and 6 assists to go with 5 from 7 from the floor, 3 from 4 from deep. He's one to certainly keep your eye on if he continues to get high minutes. Buddy Hield as well, 34 minutes, 17 points, 3 assists, a steal and a block, and 3 from 9 from downtown. Those two, either of them tickle your fancy?
Here's something that's interesting with Halliburton is that he's getting a lot of minutes. 30 minutes in the first game, 26 the next, 27 the next after that. He's a guy that's getting assists. He's going to get you points. Not a guy that's going to end up top 50. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to be incredible, but a great end of bench guy. If he's on your waiver wire, you probably have someone that you can cut for him. Definitely someone that I would keep an eye on. The one thing with Sacramento is that Rashawn Holmes is someone that led a lot of teams to the promised land last year, and everyone was excited about him until Whiteside came into town. Whiteside only played 10 minutes today. Holmes played 25. If he plays 25 minutes, he's a top 75 guy. 8 points, 11 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. He's a guy that I would go ahead and go buy low on. And also, I owned De'Aaron Fox last year. Did not like owning De'Aaron Fox. Said I would not own De'Aaron Fox. And games like today are why. 4 of 12 from the field, 5 turnovers, 4 of 6 in the free throw line. He's a guy that I just don't like owning, and it's because he really can hurt you in those percentages and turnovers.
And a guy who we said yesterday when someone asked if they should drop Marvin Bagley, don't do it. 27 minutes, 11 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, and a steal to go with 1 from 2 from deep as well. So hold on to him. On the Phoenix side, let's have a look at DeAndre Ayton, who came out with a double-double in 29 minutes today. 11 points, 15 rebounds is what we expect. 4 steals to go with that as well. Shot 5 from 11 from the floor, 1 from 2 from deep. Interestingly, didn't get to the charity stripe though. And Mr. J's favorite Swiss Army knife, McCall Bridges, 36 minutes, 22.7 rebounds and assist and a block, 9 from 15 from the floor, 4 from 8 from deep is very, very interesting. Some other names, Cam Payne found out in 19 minutes, something that is probably things that you know, you're not expected to foul out, not in 19 minutes anyway. Cameron Johnson got some points today in 21 minutes. He got 21 points, a rebound, an assist, and a steal, and he got 3 from 4 from deep. Devin Booker in 35 minutes got 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals and a block, filled up that stat sheet along with 1 for 6 from deep, and CP3 settling in nicely when you've got 12 assists. Okay, taking some of those assists away from Booker, but that's okay because in 27 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds to go with those 12 assists, 4 from 10 from the floor and missing both his deep shots. Phoenix, any of those names flash out at you, Brandon?
With the Jolly Man, I love Bridges. I really do. And what's interesting about him so far is he's got 6 blocks this season, only 1 steal. But he's a guy that gets you elite steals, and those are going to come. Those are absolutely going to come. And what you got to love is in 2 of his 3 games, he's played 36 minutes. So as long as he's on the floor and he's with guys like CP3, he's going to get open looks. He already has 9 threes this season. You add a guy that can shoot the 3-ball along with racking up blocks and steals and getting you rebounds and points, and you have a guy that is someone that you're going to want to own all season long. And I really love Bridges, and we'll see what happens when Dario comes back, but Bridges is a guy that I think is really going to lead some teams this year to the promised land. He's just been that good. CP3 wasn't good. I mean, 8 points is not what you expect from a guy in Chris Paul. No threes. He has not been great offensively to start his son's season. I expect him to be better. He did have 22 points last game to go with those 12 assists, but 8 points in 2 of 3 games is not good. He'll be fine. I think the Suns are pretty easy to predict.
And let's have a look at our last game. A very dominant performance from the Lakers, 127-91 for the Timberwolves. Let's start with the T-Wolves. And of course, Cat out. Shout out to Roy from the Philippines. He's pretty active on the old Twitter and Facebook as well. You can join us at Mr. Jolly and the Harlander on Facebook. We've got our group and our podcast page. Go hook into both of them. But this morning he jumped in and said, Naz Reid, watch him. He was quite useful with Cat out last year and kind of proved that today in 27 minutes. 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Shot 5 from 13 from the floor and 1 from 4 from deep. So keep an eye on Naz Reid. And D'Lo in 20 minutes. Shaw got 4 points, no rebounds, 3 assists, a steal and a block, 2 from 7 from the floor. Is pretty paltry and missed his only shot from deep as well. For D'Lo, the Timberwolves would be feeling a little bit dejected with Cat out.
Yeah, not great. And Naz is a guy that I would definitely go and add right now. If he's still on your waiver wire, go add him. I had him last year. He's really fun to own. Shoots threes, blocks shots. He's going to get you points and rebounds, and he's going to get minutes. He played 28 minutes today, and I bet you he plays even more in a game that's not a blowout like it was today. So Reed is a guy that I like. You would assume that D'Angelo Russell would have more usage in a game that doesn't have Towns. And to have 4 points and 7 turnovers along with 4 fouls is disgusting, but he should be better on most nights. Minnesota on a whole was not good at all, but the takeaway is that Reed is an easy pickup with Towns out. And the issue now is that Karl Anthony Towns, who was a lock to be a top 3 pick for many years and was thought of as someone very stable, is now gone hurt in 2 straight years. So he's a guy that you may want to stay away from in future drafts.
And the LA Lakers dominant without AD sitting in this back-to-back game. And let's start with Kyle Kuzma, who got the start today. 29 minutes, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 very tasty blocks. Got 8 from 12 from the floor, 4 from 6 from deep as well for Kyle Kuzma. To pair with LBJ, LeBron James in 26 minutes. And we thought he'd be the one to sit the back-to-backs. Got 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. 6 from 13 from the floor, 1 from 5 from deep for him. And Dennis Schroeder got 11 points in 25 minutes with 4 rebounds and 4 assists to go with it, although it very much looked like Mark Gasol's kind of game in 20 minutes. Got 12 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, and 4 very nice blocks, and got 3 from 3 from deep for good old Mark Gasol. The other Los Angeles team, the one that you don't generally support, Brandon, very much showing up today.
Yeah, they were great. And everyone knew that Kyle Kuzma would be a good guy that would get usage when Anthony Davis sat out. And he did really well. I mean, he was tremendous today. To get you those 3 blocks is great. And LeBron was not as good as you would hope with AD out. I mean, 18, 9, and 5 is fine. But LeBron, don't forget, he had elite assist levels or assist numbers last year. So far, he's at 5 in 2 of his 3 games. He had 10 against Dallas, but 5 against the Clippers, 5 against Minnesota. You'd like to see that go up. You'd like to see his free throw percentage be better than it is and not turn over the basketball as many times as he does. He had 4 today. But the one thing I think we learned today is that perhaps Marc Gasol is the guy that is an easy streamer when Anthony Davis is out. And a guy that can put up 12, 7, and 8 and 4 blocks in just 21 minutes is definitely someone that you might want to grab in future games when Anthony Davis isn't available.
You are listening to the Box Score Breakdown. We are presented by HoopBall, and they have something that is very, very good. It's called the Fantasy Pass. Now that the draft season is over, you brewskied your way, 150 your way, into a hell of a team, but the season has just begun. The Fantasy Pass is still the best deal in the industry at just $4.99, and you heard Brewski the other day say that he was very upset that we were only charging $5 a month. And now we're in the regular season. There is zero commitment. Sign up. That's all it costs, $5. If you don't like it, you can cancel anytime. We know you'll love it, though, but it's always nice to have that option. The Fantasy Pass has everything you'll need to dominate all year round. Updating projections, new fantasy appraiser tools, schedule and streaming charts, pickups, drops, and our newest and coolest feature, the HoopBall Discord server, where you can all go and hang out with the HoopBall pros like Mr. J. Are you on there, Brandon?
Of course. Of course. It's great talking to everybody, man, on that Discord. It's a lot of fun giving out advice, helping people out, and also helps out me out with my own team. So I love it.
Nice. And all around the clock, you can talk to those guys on the Discord channel and get one-on-one help, as Brandon said. So please go check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com. Click on the Fantasy Pass ad just below the main media wall. Look, that's it for us. 10 games gone and done. Mr. J will be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us yet again, Brandon. Appreciate it. Where can people find you on Twitter?
At BD Marcus, MARCUS, and go ahead, hit me up. I respond to pretty much everybody on Twitter, so if you've got fantasy questions, feel free to reach out.
And of course, they can hear you on the Clippers podcast, thanks to HoopBall.
Yep, you got it. The HoopBall Clippers podcast at HoopBall Clips on Twitter. Just recorded an episode yesterday, thank God, before this crazy, awful loss to Dallas, but had Joey Lynn on to talk about the first two games and what we liked so far.
Nice, man. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll get you back on again soon. As I said, Mr. J back on tomorrow. I'm not, so that's all right. You get a break from me. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. You can find Mr. Jolly on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. Get us on Facebook. Like, subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff. We'll catch you next time. Hope you've had a good one. G'day. Thanks.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.